Good morning. It is Sunday, June the 9th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, we could have had better weather for the Highlands Motoring Festival this weekend, but the good thing is, as far as I know, almost all automobiles are waterproof.
That is correct. We had so many beautiful automobiles here. I hated to see the rain, and it kind of put a damper, if you will,
so to speak,
pardon the pun, on the festival, because it's always a great event. But I want to congratulate the folks that work so hard all year round to put this on, and it goes for, you know, a great cause. Several of our nonprofits in the community benefit from this event.
And it does continue less than an hour from now with the High Octane on Main event, kind of a cars and coffee on steroids. Probably seen some of those gatherings where you see a couple classic cars, a few guys, you know, with a latte in their hand talking about it. This is going to be much bigger, so head down to Main Street and see some of these great vehicles.
That's right. If you didn't have a chance to go to the car show on Saturday, this is your chance to see those beautiful vehicles before they hit the road and head back to their home locations.
Mr. Mayor, this past Thursday was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and I understand you commemorated the event in a very unique way.
That is correct. It wasn't this Saturday, but the Saturday past, mm-hmm. before the commemoration of D-Day. My daughter and I met at Toccoa, and we went to Camp Currahee, and that is outside of Toccoa where the 101st Airborne trained for the D-Day invasion. And also, about 18,000 other soldiers trained at that camp before they went to Europe to fight in the Second World War. So I met my daughter there, and then some of our Roadrunner friends, Derek Taylor and Brad Knops, Canty Worley, whole group of us were there to commemorate this important 75th anniversary. And what it consisted of was a 10K race where you actually had to run all the way up Currahee Mountain, which is very steep, and then you had to run down the mountain, and it was a grueling race. I thought I would be prepared for it, but my legs, quite frankly, gave out before I got to the top. But the point that I want to make is that as I participated in the race, I can't imagine those young paratroopers training 75 years ago, running up the mountain and down in full battle gear.
It just
is indicative of the sacrifice and commitment that those young men and women made to the effort to winning the Second World War. So it was a great day to reflect and pay tribute to those truly American heroes.
Mr. Mayor, it was the big story in the newspapers this week. We've talked about here on Ask the Mayor, and that is the fire tax and the plans for the fire department. And there's a new wrinkle in the story. First, let's talk about the fire tax. You went down to the Macon County Commission and talked it up. How did that go?
That's right. I didn't actually go, but our fire chief, Ryan Gearhart, and our town manager, and Eric Pearson, our town commissioner, who is a vital member of the Highlands Fire and Rescue team, they all went down to present a proposed fire tax increase for the purpose of constructing a new fire department and moving toward more of a 24/7 staffing of the fire district. And we needed to make that case and proposal to the county commission because not only is this fire district within the town limits, it's also in the county, so we had to have both elected bodies approve the fire tax, and they will be reviewing our proposal and request before they approve their county budget, and then the town will approve it with our town budget, which we'll be reviewing at the next board meeting on the 20th of this month. So it was a process where they made the case for the increase in the fire tax. Even after we increase that fire tax, we'll still be the lowest fire district when it comes to taxing in the 11 department area of Macon County. So I think that the proposal was well received, and we'll wait to see the results as it's reflected in the county's budget.
So the new wrinkle in the fire department story, as was reported in some of our local papers, is that apparently the town has put in an offer on a piece of property where they would like to site a new fire station. Now, this past Friday on my morning show, I teased our listeners saying, perhaps I'd be able to extract some more information from you, perhaps about the location of that, whether it was a listed property. So what can you tell me this morning?
Okay, we're still in discussions. We are looking at acquiring a new piece of property to build the fire station. But these discussions are, at this point, confidential. And we will be, I hope, announcing a resolution and a contract on a new piece of property for locating the fire department. And that's about all, Chris, I can say at this time. But let me just say why we need a new piece of property. As we've said before, we looked at trying to renovate or build on the existing fire department site and renovate the building. The problem with that is, how do you maintain constant fire protection while you're under mm-hmm. construction? And we were looking at so many challenges of where would you locate the trucks when you're redoing the bays and everything. We realized that we might spend more money trying to create a temporary facility for these trucks while we're constructing on site, and it might be more cost effective in the long run by just finding a new site that's strategically located. So that's what we're pursuing, and hopefully by at least the next board meeting I'll be able to, you know, talk with you in detail about where we're headed with the new fire station. But let me just say one thing. I know some people might say, no, why is the town spending so much money on this and that? We're doing capital projects right now, like our broadband, this new fire station, for the future. And, mm-hmm. and we're not talking about, you know, just for the next few years. We're talking about like 50-year commitments. Mm-hmm. So yes, we'll spend money, those one-time expenditures, to build these facilities and systems, but they will be with us and serve us well for decades to come. And that's why we're addressing these issues now, because we can see ahead that we've got to change the way we provide fire and emergency service, communications with the broadband, all of those things, our utilities, all of those things. We have to look into the future and the long run on these types of initiatives.
And some of these things can change very quickly, too. And one of those things that seems to be changing at a rapid pace is our trash and recycling system here, or at least some of the things we have to handle our trash and recycling in town. And it's kind of a good news, bad news situation, isn't it?
You're exactly right, Chris. We, if you recall, last year we set up the little, you might say, mini recycling center mm-hmm. in the rec park, because we haven't been able to find, again, another piece of property where we could possibly team with the county and build a new convenience center for recycling and trash handling and so forth. So we created this little small mini center. It has become so popular over the past year that now we've got to start again looking at what's a more permanent and sustainable solution. For example, when we first started this program, we put a town dumpster next to the recycling trailer. So while people are doing recycling, they could throw their household garbage into the dumpster, or if they were going out of town and would miss a pickup or whatever, they could just use that dumpster as an alternative. Well, that became very popular, so we had to put in a second dumpster, and we were picking up trash every other day. This past week, we brought in a third dumpster.
Oh, wow.
And we are picking up that trash in those dumpsters every day now. So it is becoming very popular, and it's, I think, a very good program, because we don't want people just leaving trash randomly on the roadside mm-hmm. where bears and things will get to it. But it does create a new challenge for us on how we will now address this expanding program of a need that we have. So that's where we are. We'll be looking at those possibilities of creating a better system with a new location with our recycling and trash handling.
Mr. Mayor, this week in the paper, you took the time to address a complaint about our water costs, our sewer costs in the town. And to be frank, they are not cut-rate bargain costs. But there's a reason for that.
That's correct. And they are not. people are looking for us to be the, you know, the on the bottom end of the value, it's problematic, because I'll use this term for many of the things we've done, like our water and sewer. I remember an old cigarette commercial with Jack Lasculli. It started with, they said it could not be done. He was referring to less tar and all that kind of propaganda that they put out in the 60s about cigarettes. But when it comes to our sewer, some people said it could not be done. And in fact, for many years, we didn't have a sewer system. Mm-hmm. It was only when there was a new technology in the late 80s where we could create what we call a pressure line sewer system that we were able to build our current sewer, because we can't rely on gravity-fed sewer lines. We have mm-hmm. to put the sewage under pressure and pump it actually to our plant. So that costs money. And yes, we have to increase the water and sewer rates from time to time, because to provide those kind of services here on this isolated, elevated, remote plateau is more expensive than in other parts of the state, to be quite frank. Mm-hmm. So we also have a philosophy and a policy that we address the upgrades and maintenance of our systems as needed, and not postponing thinking that somewhere down the line it'll be cheaper. So we're having to raise rates by about a dollar this year, and we haven't done that, you know, just every year, but when we have to do it, it has to be done. And again, going back to the sewer, we put water back into the Colusage River that is as clean as when we took it out for our sewer plant. We use a green biological process. And here again, this is not a cheap process that we use, but we think that we need to be good stewards of the environment and the land, and at the same time deliver this service to the people of Highlands.
Well, tomorrow, Mr. Mayor, in the morning, quite early, 8:30, a event will be going on right there at the corner of 4th and Main, between the Old Edwards Inn and the Highlands Inn, which was the site of a war.
That's right. And our kind of our local historian, Rand Schaffner, and the Historical Society requested that we allow them to place a marker commemorating the Moccasin War, the Moonshine War of mm-hmm. 1885, where some moonshiners from Georgia came in and laid siege to the town and had kind of a running battle for a period of time with federal agents who had, according to the moonshiners, unjustly arrested one of their own. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a little mini war for a while. So tomorrow at 8:30, at the Planter, right at the corner of 4th and Main, we'll be having a brief dedication ceremony to commemorate the site where the war and the standoff took place.
And I understand, too, this is it's not one of those historical plaques. It's called a Legends and Lore marker. And I understand it's actually the first one in the state of North Carolina through this program, Legends and Lore.
That is right. Rand did a great job of researching this and was able to secure that plaque. I'm sure a lot of our visitors will be interested to know about the Moccasin War that we had. You know, the Historical Society has done a great job, and along with Rand, in kind of documenting our history. For example, at Founders Park, you have all of the markers commemorating all the major events in the community. And then, of course, this past year, we had a new historical marker that commemorated the Bug House and Dr. Lappin's research in treating TB back in the early 1900s. So it's a very interesting community when you look at all the history that we've had in Highlands.
And just to be clear, the Moccasin War had nothing to do with footwear. It's because
right.
these revenuers, or actually these moonshiners, came from Moccasin, Georgia, correct?
Moccasin, I think it's kind of an area or a community,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I would like to take a moment as we end the show to spotlight a member of our community who's done a lot for Highlands. Obviously, you and the town government do a lot of work, but there's also kind of another organization that does a lot and makes a lot of events happen in this town and is a booster for the town, and that is the Highlands Chamber of Commerce. And the executive director of the Highlands Chamber for, I think now, 12 years, Bob That's Kiltica, right. has just recently announced his retirement.
That is right. And, you know, what I want to communicate to Bob is that really a judgment of leadership is that an organization is better situated and better off when the leader decides to depart. And that's exactly the situation with Bob's retirement. He has led the chamber through many different developmental plans, and he will be leaving the chamber, and the chamber will be in really great shape for that new person that they will be selecting. And I want to thank Bob for all the things that he has done for the chamber, but more than that, I want to thank him for all the service he's given to Highlands over the years. And the good news is that Bob won't be totally leaving us. He will be staying here and continue to be an active citizen in the community. So congratulations to Bob, and we wish him all the best.
And on that note, we will wrap up this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.